there's one event we need to have our eyes on, and that's when Jesus comes for his church. That's not an escapist mentality either. That should not promote this feeling, oh, we're just hanging on for dear life until Jesus comes for us. No, it should promote this feeling. We need to get busy because people need to be ready.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you're about to hear today is part of a series that's entitled, You Asked For It. I asked the church family at Holt Assembly of God to pick four topics they'd like to hear me preach and share from the Word of God. The first topic they selected were the events of the end time. In Revelation 22:17, Jesus said, Behold, I am coming quickly. Are you ready should the Lord make his return today? Would your family members be ready should the Lord make his return today? I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part two of the timeline.
To those confused about the timeline, tell them the dead in Christ will rise first. Their mortal body sown in the ground will come up, be raised immortal, and those bodies will come out of the ground. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Now, I don't know the timing of all this. I know that we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, so to speak, correct? But we shall not precede them. So in my opinion, we're going to get to see the first glimpses of this. That's just my opinion. Now, you can have a different opinion. It's okay. But we are not going to surpass them. Can you imagine being in the cemetery one day and all of a sudden it'll be the most incredible Hollywood movie ever? Can you imagine? Now listen, if I'm dead in the grave, I pray God gives me a sense of humor. Let me come crawling out of the grave before I'm taken up. Let me just freak somebody out first. But those bodies are going to come out of the ground. They're going to be reunited with the soul, with the spirit, caught up in the clouds, meet the Lord, and then we that are left, we're going to be caught up together with him, be transformed in that moment. The timeline begins at the rapture. Okay, the timeline begins at the rapture. I know that Israel becoming a nation in 1948 was a miracle, but it was not an event on the timeline. It's not an event on the timeline. Israel ceased to be a sovereign nation 585 BC. Get that. Now, it's a miracle, isn't it? 585 BC. It's not been a sovereign nation all the way until 1948. Sovereign nation under its own rule, under its own authority. Now, that's incredible. That's a miracle, isn't it? But do you know that Israel could cease, so to speak, again? Because, listen, if God created Israel in a day before, he can do it again. All right? So that's what I'm saying. You can't get off these things. As incredible as it is, it's not on the timeline. It's not on the timeline. Fast forward to the day Jesus ascended to heaven. I'll show you this even. Listen to the question the disciples asked Jesus before he was taken up in the cloud. Acts 1:6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will we once again become a nation, a kingdom again? What did he say to them? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Basically, what he's saying is, don't sweat the small stuff. Get busy. Just get busy. Do what I told you to do. These things will come to pass in their timing, my timing. But right now, what you need to do is preach the gospel. I know that what I just said, Israel becoming a nation, was not on the timeline. That is almost blasphemous in prophecy circles. There'll be someone listening to this message on the radio, I can't believe he just said that. It's not on the timeline. It's not the event that we need to be looking towards. It's not the first event we need to be looking for. There's one event we need to have our eyes on, and that's when Jesus comes for his church. That's not an escapist mentality either. That should not promote this feeling, oh, we're just hanging on for dear life until Jesus comes for us. No, it should promote this feeling. We need to get busy because people need to be ready. In fact, it should put the imminency back into our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, look at this again. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. That the coming, talking about the coming of the Lord should not cause anxiety in our hearts. It should not cause any kind of fear. It should not cause any kind of worry. And if those things arise in our hearts, it's either we don't understand, or we ourselves are not prepared, or we ourselves are not preparing others. See, we can get anxious for others. Are you following me? But let me say this. Don't remain anxious. Get busy. Maranatha, Jesus is coming. Stop worrying. Get ready. Get busy. Get yourself ready. Get others ready. He is coming, and he is coming soon. Amen? Amen. All right, there are four basic views concerning the rapture. Four basic views. One is absolutely ridiculous. No rapture at all. So the three basic ones we're going to focus on here for just a moment is the pre-trib view, the mid-trib view, or the post-tribulation view. Pre-trib rapture is this. We believe that the rapture occurs before the tribulation. Mid-tribulation rapture says this, that in the middle part of the tribulation, the rapture occurs. The post-tribulation rapture says the tribulation ends with the rapture. So those are the three most dominant views. And I believe with all my heart that the Bible clearly communicates a pre-tribulation rapture. That I believe that the rapture takes place and then the tribulation. And I don't say that because the Assemblies of God, that's their predominant view. I don't say that because that's what people have taught me to say. I believe when I read the totality of God's Word, that is what's clearly communicated in Scripture. The other options cause you to look for signs. There's a group of people that will constantly look for signs in the sky. They need to have their eyes on Jesus, by the way. I can remember some of the ones that happened in this past year. People were citing, well, in this constellation and that constellation, the earth and the moon, and all this comes together, and that's when Jesus is going to come back, and we're still sitting here today. I'm not downplaying them whatsoever. I'm just saying that clearly Scripture communicates to us what we are to do and how we are to keep our eyes focused on, and that is on the return of Jesus. Church, let's just be honest. We don't live our lives in a state of readiness. The early church did. We're more prepared for storms off the Gulf of Mexico. We're more prepared for football season. But listen, are we ready? And we should be ready should Jesus descend and call his church home. Now, I want you to think about this. What if Jesus returned this morning? And I'm not saying that if you didn't make, I'm just saying this, would there be any regret? Would you, as in that split moment before there's transformation that occurs, because there is no sorrow in heaven. And I truly believe, and I just think about this constantly because it's fresh in my mind. My mom's in heaven, but she doesn't know what's going on here, because if she did, she would grieve. There's no sorrow in heaven. There's no tears. I believe that we're shielded from these times because our hearts would be filled with sorrow because we would want our family members who are left here with us. Would there be in that instant that flash, that twinkling of an eye as your body is transformed, you're taken to heaven, so to speak, would there be any regrets? I don't know about you. We should live our lives with no regrets. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. This is one reason why I fully believe that God has not, that we will not go through the tribulation. I believe that God, his desire is that we leave before the tribulation takes place. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a fallen world, correct? We're not promised a silver spoon. We can go through trials. We can go through difficulties. We may even go through tribulations. We may go through persecutions. However, we are not, I don't believe that we are prophesied, we are told or instructed that we're going to go through the tribulation, which is basically just hell on earth. I mean, hell like we've never seen ever before. The basic theme of Jesus' teachings promotes a preparedness, a readiness throughout Scripture. A readiness of his coming that will suddenly take place without warning and an unexpected time. This is the problem I have with all these other views of the rapture. If it's the mid-trib, I know when it's going to take place. If it's the post-trib, I know when it's going to take place. If the rapture were to take place in the middle of the tribulation or the end, I know when it's going to take place. If we believe the rapture is in the middle of the tribulation, all I have to do is wait 3.5 years. I can almost come down to the day, to the hour when Jesus is going to come then. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and of hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And I've heard people say this, well, for the lost, that's true, but not for the righteous. But, you know, there's another verse in Luke where it says that even the Lord himself does not know. I believe that we start our scriptures, we start our timeline at the rapture. We don't start our timeline at 1948 when Israel became a nation again. We don't start the timeline if we see the destruction of the mosque that sits where the Temple Mount is. We don't start our timeline if they begin to build a new Jewish temple. We don't start our timeline there. We start it at the rapture. I fully believe that Jesus is coming. He can come right now. But what's going to happen is sometimes these events take place just like Israel becoming a nation and people started doing math. Well, what's a biblical generation? Because their view of Scripture is this generation that sees this take place will see the coming of the Lord. I think there might be some holes in that, by the way. I know that's going to break someone's heart. But listen, it used to be we defined a biblical generation as 40 years. 40 years coming past. Then we go, oh, well, it's 50 years. And now, well, from the Scriptures, it's 60. We're going to get up to 100, 120. Be busy until he comes. I fully believe he can come at any moment. But I believe that whenever the mathematicians that are left to figure this out, they're going to come out with math that doesn't work. That he just came when he said when it was his time. And that man has no idea when that's going to take place. Our call is to be ready. The timeline is not it's not supposed to drive you crazy. Some people go crazy. Do you know what I mean? Some of you have friends on Facebook that are crazy about these things. And if the fact is known, they're actually anxious about these things. That's why they're so crazy about them. See, the timeline should not cause animosity. It should not cause these things to happen. Paul says, comfort one another with this. I'll viciously defend what I'm getting ready to say here. So get your listening ears on. I want you to think about this. Why do people say that when the rapture occurs, the Holy Spirit will be taken away? You say, well, the Bible says that. Okay, the one verse we focus on when we say that is this verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. There's a couple issues. If we take that scripture and we think that the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away from the earth, we're going to have some problems, major problems. See, there's some people, there might be some of you have even heard this preached. I've heard this preached in Assembly of God churches that the Holy Spirit will be taken away from the earth after the rapture. Who of you have heard this before? Baloney. And if that's the only scripture you got a problem, by the way. That means you've misinterpreted the scriptures, because this is the only one you're going to really find that has kind of brings this into subject. Let me ask you this. Are people going to be saved during the tribulation? Revelation 7:13. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from? Verse 14, I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who came out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Clearly they were saved during the tribulation. When does God change the formula for salvation? When does he change that you must be born again?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing and encouraging to you. The events of the end time should not cause us to be anxious as believers. Instead, the imminency of these great events should encourage us to ready ourselves and to ready others for the glorious return of our Savior. If you're in our area and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. We have children's ministries available. Or you can join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.